so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Come on, everywhere you are, just give the Lord a shout of praise today. Come on, everywhere, in living rooms all across central Iowa, in cars, in parking lots, everywhere you are, just give the Lord a shout of praise right now. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, no matter how uncomfortable it feels, because you're not surrounded by a crowd right now, but you are surrounded by the Holy Spirit right now. So give the Lord a chain-breaking shout of praise wherever you are. It's all right if the only voice... You know, we'll pull back for 1 second. Listen up. It's all right if the only voice that you can hear in your praise right now is yours, because every time you praise God, the only voice that he hears is yours. Right now, you're just getting a little taste of what God feels when it's just you and him, amen. And so if there's a breakthrough that you need in your life, if you just need encouragement, if you just need joy, if you just need hope, if you just need to lean into the presence of God, praise is a key to breakthrough. So right now, wherever you are today, give him a shout of praise with me right now. Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as people praise you today, I pray that your glory would fall. God, that your anointing would fall, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon every person, in every car, in every living room across the world, in central Iowa, in Adel, in Des Moines. God, wherever we are here, and we are tuned in to your Holy Spirit right now. God, we're not tuned in to Eternity Church. We're not tuned in to Facebook or to YouTube. We're tuned into your Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, we just give you this season, this moment, and we ask you to speak to us, and we ask you to encourage each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody where you are, say amen. 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 Come on, praise God. It's so good to have church with you right now. I know it's a different season, and we'll be doing this for a few more weeks yet, having church wherever we are. But I want to encourage you to stay connected. A couple of ways you can do that is at the start of the service today, we had Pastor Connor, our youth pastor, and Pastor Jed, one of our associate pastors here, talking about the ways you can connect. I want to go back over that again before I preach. You can connect by going to myeternity.com/online, and on that page you'll find links to care, links to video calls with pastors, you'll find links to give, you'll find links to Zoom groups and all sorts of different opportunities that are on there. You'll also find links to our food bank that is running out of our central campus in Clive. You'll find links to serve at our food bank. And so I want to encourage you today to go check out myeternity.com/online. You can even go there and claim your free gift for joining us for the first time. So anyway, welcome to church. I'm glad that you're here. I like to just get straight into the scripture. So hello, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor. Glad you're here. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. All right, it says, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness." Hallelujah, I love that already. Anybody else love that already? "For God who said..." The God who said, our God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but never destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life, the resurrection life of Jesus, may also be revealed in our bodies. Come on, there's resurrection life in your body. Amen. Jesus said that in this world, you will have some troubles, but that we should take heart, for he has overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. If you're going through trouble right now, wherever you are, that's what he's talking about. You can take heart, he has overcome. You can take heart, God's going to bring a victory. You can take heart, he's going to turn your pressing into a blessing. Amen. I want to talk about my life right now, if I just can, all right? Like, don't worry, I'm not going to have a pity party. I did have a pity party. I'll talk about that later. But I'm not having one right now. This is all good news. I got good news coming, got good news today. But right now, I feel like I understand pressed on all sides. I feel like I get that. In fact, I feel like I get that better now than I ever have before. Pressed on all sides. Pressed to serve our people well. Pressed to serve our community well. Pressed to lead our staff well. Pressed to lead our church well. Pressed to serve our God well. Pressed to make the budget and the finances work well. Pressed by my 5 psycho kids who won't be back at school for 4 months. And we're fine. We're fine. We're fine. The Newmans are fine. With 5 kids at home, we're fine. Seriously, no problem at all. No problem. We're fine. We still love them. Well, we're at least committed to keeping them. No matter what, we're keeping them. Dad, can we play Xbox after your homework and your chores are done? Dad, can we play Xbox? Have you done your homework and your chores? No. Did I stutter? After your homework and your chores. Dad, can we play Xbox? No. After your homework and your chores. Dad, can we play Xbox and have a sandwich? Fine, just go play Xbox and eat whatever you want. God bless you. Leave me alone. I don't know if anybody else feels like that right now. Anyone else feel a little perplexed these days? I sat down to write my sermon this week, and it took me half a day to get a sermon title. Half a day for a title. My phone kept ringing. My emails kept blowing up on me. I would sit down and start writing, and then a thought would pop into my head. I thank God he made me creative, right? He made all of us creative. God created us to be creative. God's a creative God. And when he was creating, he said, let us make mankind in our image. Amen. We're all creative. But I really wanted that part of my brain to shut up while I was trying to write a sermon. So these thoughts kept popping into my head. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about more ways that we can look after our people. All of a sudden, I got another idea how we can better serve the 3,000 people who attended Eternity Church before the Rona even came. Not to mention the new people that are joining us online now. So now I'm Googling this new idea. I got an idea. It's got nothing to do with my sermon at all. But I'm like Googling this new idea. And now I'm on other pastors' Instagram pages to see if anybody else has even thought of this idea. And if they have, how are they doing it? And then I see that somebody's done it. Now I'm excited because somebody's done it. It means I'm not stupid. It means I'm not thinking too far out there. Someone's done it and they've done it better than I imagined. Now I'm inspired about how great we could do it. But now I'm 60 weeks deep in their Instagram. 60 weeks deep. I didn't just get through 5. I'm 900 posts deep in that pastor's Instagram. I'm looking at their sermons that they preached in 2018. And I'm super inspired. But none of it has anything to do with my sermon that I'm supposed to be writing right now. I'm perplexed. And then I get a phone call from my kids. Dad, can you add more playtime to the Xbox? Then I finally get myself back on track and the phone rings. because some other pastor who's supposed to be writing his sermon has been stuck on my Instagram and is inspired by one of the ideas that we're doing to serve our people, and now they're calling me for help in the middle of my sermon prep. But it's all good. It's all good because I said, you know, just go ring Pastor Jed. He knows everything. Just ring Pastor Jed. Here's his number. Yeah, of course you can have his number. It's not private. Everybody, it's 515-777-9325. I actually don't know whose number that is. We literally just made up a number and somebody's going to get all these lovely text messages. Everybody text that number and say, I love you. You're amazing. You got this. Praying for you. But it's all good. I handed it off to Pastor Jed. I said, you call Pastor Jed. He knows everything that we're doing. In fact, he's usually the guy that makes my ideas actually work. So call him. It'll be great. Call him. Now I can feel myself getting back in the groove. Come on. I can feel it. I'm about ready to get my sermon preparation on. I'm about to get groovy. I can feel it. And then I realize I haven't heard back from the bank about that email I sent them at the start of the week. And now I'm gone for 2 hours thinking about the budget. Talk about confused and perplexed and distracted, right? Anybody else feel like that? You know, like at the moment, you're like, you're supposed to be doing one thing, but the Rona's got you thinking about some other thing, right? Like, I'm perplexed right now. What about persecuted? Anyone in here ever allow yourself to have like a little bit of a pity party? Come on, anybody online, do you ever let yourself have a pity party? I know you probably don't, but I did. Whenever I allow myself to have a pity party, I always invite lots of people to come, but no one ever wants to join me. So this week I had like a 6-minute pity party all by myself, but that's good because I got to eat all the popcorn on my own. People were getting mad, right? I had a pity party because people were getting mad at our church. Now, don't mess with the bride of Christ, right? I get mad when people mess with the church. But I might have been maybe in my head a little over mad this week about that. It didn't matter. But I needed something to be mad about. I needed a pity party, right? So people were getting mad at our church because our parking lot is full. All day, every day, our parking lot is full. And they're like, that big church in Clive is still having large gatherings. So people were getting mad at us because our parking lot is full. Hey, time out. We're not having large gatherings, all right? They weren't our cars. Listen up. Willis Automotive, they're great friends of ours. We love them. They've been good to us. We're good to them. They're great friends of ours. They're just across the street. That way, wherever you are, look to your left. That's where they are, okay? Like Willis Automotive, they're just across the street, and they have a lot of staff because there's like 7 dealerships in their whole like thing. And so they use our parking lot for their staff to park their cars in our parking lot, and then they have this cute little shuttle bus that goes back and forth every 5 minutes all day, taking all the wonderful Willis employees to work. Now, here's the thing. Car dealerships are considered an essential business right now. Why? Well, if your car breaks down, you can't get to the emergency room. So right now, car dealerships are still open so that if your car breaks, they can fix it. So that if your car like blows up, you can buy another one so you can still get groceries, so you can still get like to drive in church at Easter, so you can still get to the urgent care, so you can still get to emergency room, so you can still get a hot dog, come on, or a pizza. Like they gotta keep them places open. Now, I know y'all are like Pastor Jesse, thanks for the education, but what's your point? My point is they're still open. So while gatherings over 10 are banned in our community and our church gatherings are huge, people keep driving past our parking lot, seeing cars in there and judging us for not caring about the community. But nothing could be further from the truth, because us and the Lutherans were among the first people. In fact, we were the first 2 churches to say, let's go online and look after our community. So people are Facebooking about this huge church in Clive with cars in the parking lot all day, all week. And I'm like, man, even if we were running services, you really think that we'd be running services all day, every day with 800 100 cars in the parking lot. This ain't Lakewood Church. This is Eternity Church. Come on, we ain't that big. Yet. Yet. I wanted to get online and defend myself. I'm like, I'm being persecuted in the middle of the Rona. I'm being persecuted right now. Y'all need to shut your mouth, eh, bruv? Us and the Lutherans, we were the first. I wanted to defend myself. But anyway, after a while, after a small but influential pity party, I started to remember that in China right now, Christians and churches are being persecuted and locked up for their faith, even in the middle of a pandemic. And in the middle of that, they know that Jesus will never leave them and he will never forsake them, and that he works all things together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and are working and are called according to his purposes. Amen. So I let it slide. But I did ask Willis to use our north parking lot behind the building, so it looks like Seven Flags is running large events and not us. Mind you, we are going to run one large event, actually four, this coming week. So that's exciting, but no one will be gathering, okay? We're having drive-in Easter services this coming week. And check it out. Nobody's going to be out of their cars. It's all right. We're going to have a band on the steps outside. Nobody will be out of their cars. It'll be completely safe. It's going to be... We even have the city's permission to run the event, so it's all good. We've got the blessing of our local officials, and we're just excited to bless you. Here's how it's going to work. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, all of them at 6:30 p.m. in our parking lot. We're going to have church, and we're excited about it. The service will run for only 45 minutes max, because we're not allowed to let anybody out of the car. If you get out of the car, Pastor Connor will body slam you back into the car, all right, and then pray for your healing, because she's tough, and she'll bam, and then blessed in Jesus' name. And so nobody's allowed out of their car, but people got to pee every like hour. So we're only going to have a 45-minute service, all worship and all sermon and worship, that's it. It's going to be awesome. Lyrics are going to be on a website, myeternity.com/Easter. All the lyrics for the songs that we sing, the scriptures in my sermon will be on there. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be amazing. In fact, every single car that comes will be offered a free bag of food from our food bank. Every car. That could be 800 cars over those services. Every car will be offered a bag of food from our food bank if you need it. We just want to bless you. But I just got excited about this. I felt the Holy Spirit tell me what a wonderful and encouraging and uplifting moment it will be for the church to come together and worship, knowing that so many others are worshiping God with them right there in our parking lot. Like just lifting up the name of Jesus, singing those songs. And I ran out of that grave, and then at the end saying, I drove out of that grave, and I drove out. Come on, like just knowing that together there's hundreds. If there's 200 cars in each service, there might be, you know, between 500 and 800 people in the parking lot worshiping God with you with their windows up, listening and singing along. You'll tune in to FM radio and everything. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait to see you. What I need you to do, though, is right now go to myeternity.com. Not right now, actually. Listen to my message. After the message, I need you to go to myeternity.com/Easter and book your ticket, because there's only 200 cars per night, because we want to make sure everybody has a good view. God bless you. It's easy to feel persecuted, isn't it? Right? It's easy to feel persecuted. It's easy to feel perplexed and pressed. And we may be perplexed, but we will not be in despair. That's what the scripture says. We will not be in despair. We may be persecuted, but he's still with us. And honestly, compared to the persecution happening around the world, this isn't even persecution. It was just a pity party. But even if we were persecuted, he will be with us. Amen. And we may have had our large gathering struck down, but we are not even injured, let alone destroyed. Come on. We may be pressed. We won't be crushed. As believers, you may feel pressed, but I want to encourage you, like the woman with the issue of blood, when she was pressed, she pressed back. She was pressed. but the pressing got stronger right before the breakthrough. The closer she got to Jesus, the closer she got to her breakthrough, the more people there were gathering around him. The closer she got to the breakthrough, the more pressing there was. The harder they pressed on her, and the harder she had to press back. But when the world pressed, she leaned in. Harder, stronger, longer, amen. She outlasted them. And then finally she pressed back so hard that her breakthrough came flooding into her life and everything changed. Everything changed. So on Friday, I was sitting down at my laptop and I was thinking about pressing. I was thinking about all the times in my life that I've felt pressed. Heart surgery, moving to the USA, growth in a church, struggle in a marriage, and how God used every pressing to prepare and propel me further into his blessing. And as I kept thinking about the pressing that has come in my life, I remember at another verse, give and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, pressed, pressed, pressed down, shaken together, pressed down. The pressing and the shaking is what causes an overflow and a running over into your life. Amen. Every time that I've allowed God to press me and to shake me, I've experienced an overflow of God's blessing. God always turns pressing into blessing. God will always turn your pressing into blessing every time. Amen. See, understanding this principle and this passage will help you turn the most painful of pressing into the most incredible of blessings in your life. It's Luke 6, 37 to 38. Listen to it. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. But forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into everybody else's lap. No, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. After the pressing and the shaking has filled you and it's measured back on you, amen. I love that the passage starts with two do nots and it's followed by two do's. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive and give. I love the way the message says it. Don't pick on people, jumping on their failures and criticizing their faults, unless, of course, you want to be treated the same way. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang back at you. If you be easy on people, you'll find life a lot easier on you. Give away your life and you'll find it given back to you. But not merely given back with bonuses and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets even more generosity. What is the writer of the scripture saying? That when pressing begins, when people are mocking you, when people are after you, when people are messing up all around you and it's beginning to affect you, don't judge them. Don't condemn them. When the drama begins in your life, you have a choice. Let it happen to you or let it change through you. Come on. See, I know some people aren't getting it yet. I know. How do I know? Because hundreds of people didn't just yell at me. Well, maybe I can't hear them because they're in their houses. But for those of you who aren't getting it yet, listen to me. The writer says that when pressing begins, we need to make a choice not to waste the pressing. Not to waste the pain. Not to waste the storm. Because if God always turns pressing into blessing, we have a choice to make when the pressing comes to lean out and only be pressed, or to lean in and turn that pressing into a blessing in the name of Jesus. When people are doing stupid things, instead of judging them and condemning them, be generous with them. When people are coming after you, be generous with them. See, God created a key that turns pressing into blessing. That key is generosity. The key to turning pressing into blessing is generosity. Now, I'm sorry, I can't tell you right now that that's just a financial thing, that you can just go to myeternity.com/give and just tithe and then all of a sudden it's done. No, it's a lifestyle thing. Generosity is not just a financial thing. Generosity is a lifestyle. You need to lean into generosity in times of struggle. Do not judge. Be generous. Do not condemn. Be generous. Forgive. Be generous. Give. Be generous. And it will be given back to you. Press down, shaking together, running over and pouring into your lap. Come on, give. Give. Give grace. Give finance. Give joy. Give hope. Give. 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 Your giving and your generosity right now in this season is the key to unlock the favor and the blessing of God and turn that pressing into a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. That's good preaching. But you know, the thing about generosity is, though, it actually creates more pressing. You want a breakthrough, you're going to have to press back. Generosity is going to create more pressing in your life. But it causes a godly pressing. See, earlier pressed, perplexed, struck down. This scripture is talking about when we give, when we're generous, it's creating a new type of pressing. It's causing a shaking. And that pressing and shaking is filling me up with goodness, with kindness, with godliness, with favor. And then his favor and his blessing, his goodness and his kindness, his joy and his love, his hope and his peace is gonna begin to overflow, not just into the lives of those who would have been judged or those who would have been condemned, not just overflowing into the lives of the world around me, but he says he will pour it in my lap. In my lap, for me and my life and my family and my church and my community to enjoy, amen, into your lap, into the lap of the one who was willing to be pressed and shaken, into the lap of the one who said in the middle of this storm, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to lean into what God has called me to be. I'm going to lean into the values and the culture and the heart of God. You see, church, generosity is one of the hallmark values of Eternity Church. And it's amazing how in a season like this, you may be tempted to lean out of that kind of value. But we have chosen to lean in. Our church is leaning in by adding 50% more to our benevolence fund. Even though giving's gone down a little bit, we're adding more to benevolence. Our church is leaning in by opening a new food bank at our church. Come on. Every Tuesday and every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., anybody, any of you and any of your friends and anyone you know can just drive up the ramp at Central Campus. Don't even get out of your car. Just pop your trunk and we're going to pop a bag of food in your car. And then you know what? You can come back to the next one the next day and just keep doing it every time and we'll just keep putting food in your car. And if you start saying, and if you, people won't, pause, gather my thoughts. Ain't nobody going to judge you if you come every day asking for food. We just want to lean into generosity. We're helping other churches. We're doing all we can to be a blessing around our town. We are leaning in. leaning in, funny enough, actually, on Friday when I was struggling, actually on Thursday as well, when I was struggling to write my sermon, I decided to lean in. I felt the Holy Spirit say, Jesse, leaning in will create clarity. I was confused by that. I started thinking about it for a little while. Lean in will create clarity. Lean in will create clarity. I'm like, I didn't even have a title yet, but whatever. Lean in. So I thought, what's something that I do all the time that I want to lean into? What's something our church does all the time? Generosity. We give. We give. That's what we do. We give, and we trust that God will give back to us. So I ordered a bunch of food for some people in town that their office is considered an essential workplace. So we sent them a bunch of food, a whole bunch of cod and chips. So fish and chips. And we sent a bunch of orders of that to them and had it delivered to their office. And it's amazing how the moment I did that, clarity came flooding into my mind. And it's like this sermon literally poured into my lap. Now, is spending $400 right now a great idea in the natural? No. No. In the spiritual? Yeah. Yeah, amen. And I want to reach up into the supernatural and bring that favor down into the natural, amen. So yeah, I'm going to roll with what makes sense up there in the supernatural, amen. Because leaning in to who we are is what will get us through. And generosity is the key to turning pressing into blessing. And I want to encourage every single one of you right now that whatever you're going through, and remember, generosity is not just a financial thing, it's a lifestyle. I want to encourage every one of you right now to look at the pressing in your life. Whatever pressing you feel in your life, look at it as an opportunity for blessing. Look at the pressing right now as an opportunity for blessing. And by the way, if you aren't being pressed at all, you aren't being blessed at all. You got to lean in and get pressed. If you want to get blessed, I'm not saying you need to get coronavirus. Come on, no. I'm saying you need to apply some pressure so you can get a blessing. It's true in your marriage. You got to actually invest in your marriage if you want to be blessed in your marriage. It's true in your finances. You got to get a little pressed in your finances to get a little blessed in your finances. That's what tithing does. It's an opportunity to apply some pressing that'll always be turned into a blessing. It's true in your workplace. You got to apply some pressing if you want to get some blessing at your workplace. Well, I got laid off this week because of the coronavirus. I got let go. You know, someone in another country was on an interview and I was really disappointed in the person. I started praying for them. Did my best not to judge them, so I started praying for them instead. Someone in another country was on an interview and they said how now that they got laid off, they're making the same amount of money on unemployment as they were beforehand. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I'm glad your life's not burning up. But then they said something that disappointed me, and I realized they need prayer. They said this whole thing isn't really a big deal for them. They're enjoying the same amount of money and just staying home playing Xbox. And I was saddened because I'm like, that dude's not going to come out the other side blessed. If the situation isn't causing you a pressing, you're not going to come out of it with a blessing. If I was that guy, I would lean in and get a little bit pressed. I would use the time to serve generously. I wouldn't use the time to stay home on my Xbox unless I was using my Xbox to encourage other people. I would use the time to love generously. If your boss runs a business that's considered an essential service, you should go to work for free. Hey, someone's still paying me. How can I help you? You could keep your social distancing up and start mowing other people's lawns. Start drawing on all the sidewalks. Start carrying chalk and everywhere you go, right? Love you heaps. www.myeternity.com. You could start using your Instagram for love, for hope, for joy, instead of arguing and tormenting. You could give some of that money to charity, to your church or to your neighbors. You want to make sure that you lean in to the pressing so that you can come out with a blessing. You know, I don't want to come out the other side of this situation and say, oh, mate, that was too easy. Ah, too easy, too easy. I want to come out the other side and say, God kept me thinking, God kept me pressing, and God turned all the pressing into abundant blessing. I want to encourage you to lean in and be pressed. Lean in and be shaken. Lean in and be blessed, amen. And in the pressing and in the shaking, remember, you will not be crushed. You will not be in despair. You will not be destroyed. You will not be abandoned. You will, come on, for those of us who love the Lord and those of us living according to His purposes, all things will work together for their benefit. Lean in. Don't float through. Get some pressing. Don't just stay home and isolate yourself when you could be mowing someone's lawns while still socially distant. Don't just stay home and watch movies when you could be sending emails to people and telling them how much you love them, that you're praying for them. You can watch movies, but take a gap, you know, and send someone a text message, call someone up, pray for them, love them. Get on a video call with your pastors. You know what? If you don't need help, maybe just ring up and encourage one of your pastors. Come on, let's not float. Let's run. Come on, I don't want to float through this storm. I want to run through this storm. Oh, running takes a little more energy, takes a little more effort, but my goodness, you make a lot more progress, a lot more blessing in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that even right now, wherever we find ourselves, God, begin to speak to us. God, begin to speak to us right now about the ways we can press back. God, begin to speak to us about how we can be generous in our hope, generous in our love, generous in our care, in our offering of peace, in our encouragement, in our forgiveness, in our finances, in our hearts. Lord God, speak to us about how we can be generous, how we can use generosity as the key to turn the pressing into a blessing. I pray every person watching right now, every person tuned in to your Holy Spirit right now, I pray for favor, for blessing. I pray that as we say yes to the pressing, that God, you would bring the blessing, that you would open the floodgates of heaven upon our lives and our families, our health, our wealth, our relationships, our churches, our streets and cul-de-sacs. God, we give it all to you and we ask for the pressing to be turned into blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I want to talk to people right now about giving your life to Jesus. Just 2 minutes. After that, we're going to collect today's offering online. But before that, I want to talk to people about giving your life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, right now you need Him. All those scriptures I read about how God will cause everything to work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord, of those who are called by God, of those who are working for His purpose. I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ and be counted as one of those people. See, right now I know there's drama, I know there's pain, I know there's uncertainty, despair, isolation, different things like that. But you know, if you give your life to Jesus Christ right now, despair is gone in the name of Jesus. You may be perplexed, you won't be in despair. You may feel persecuted, you'll never be abandoned. You may feel struck down. You'll never be destroyed. You may be pressed, but the pressing will be turned into blessing. I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ right now, wherever you are, wherever you stand, wherever you sit. I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to repeat it after me, one line at a time. You need to give your life to Christ. Do not go through this season alone. Let God set you up to become all that He designed you to be. You know, when Scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth, and then He said, let us make mankind in our image. Whether you believe that was 6 or 7,000 years ago, or whether you believe that was 6 or 7 billion years ago, honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. What matters is God's the one who created mankind. God's the one who created the world, and God's the one who created you. And at that time, He thought of you, and He's been waiting for today, for this opportunity for you to give your life to Him so that He can turn the pressing into blessing in your life. So pray this prayer with me and give your life to Him. He wants to take away the shame that you carry from your past mistakes. He wants to take away the shame that you carry from the things that other people did to you or around you that had nothing to do with you, but you've been carrying the shame that's never been yours to carry. He wants to heal you of that. And He wants to help you become all that He designed you to be. And Scripture tells us verbatim, word for word, that He has good plans for your life, that He does not ever want to harm you, but that He wants to bless you and fill your life with hope. That's what Scripture says. So right now, I want you to choose that life over your last life, over your past life. So pray a prayer with me, because all you got to do is believe this prayer in your heart and speak it out with your mouth, and you will be saved and set free from your past and set up for a blessed future. So everybody, I'm going to ask everybody in every room to pray this prayer so that no one's praying alone. No matter where you are, I want you to pray this prayer with us, because you just don't know. You know, we can't judge or know the heart of the person next to us, but God does. So I want us all to pray it together so the person next to you doesn't feel alone. So everybody together, all over the world, all over Central Iowa, repeat after me right now, and especially those who've walked away from God, and especially those who've never known Him. Repeat after me right now. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life, and I receive Your forgiveness. Help me to live this new life the way You designed it. Help me to break free of the shame and the pain and the hurt of my past, and to become all You designed me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commit my life to You. Amen. 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 Come on, all over the world, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, hallelujah. Houses all over Central Iowa cheering and praising God for people coming to know the Lord right now. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, I want you to do a couple of things. Number one, I want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827. If you do that, it's just another opportunity for our church to operate in generosity. We want to bless you. We're going to send you a Bible. We're going to send you a gift card to a local coffee shop that you'll be able to use one day. And actually, I think those coffee shops are still open for takeout right now. So we want to bless you with that. If you live somewhere else, we'll just send you a Starbucks one if you can stomach that. We just want to bless you. And there'll also be a worship CD in there as well. So text the word SAVE to the number 25827, and we'll send you a gift in the mail just to bless you. The second thing I want you to do is, after the service today, I want you to get on Instagram, Facebook, get on Twitter and TikTok, and tell all your friends and family, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. You watch me. My life's going to rock now. And just tell everyone around you that God's going to do a good thing in your life from now on. Take a step of faith. Tell people. God's good and he's got you. Amen. Hey, right now I'm going to invite my friend, Pastor Connor, our youth pastor, to come and talk about tithes and offerings. Stick around because immediately after that, we're going to pray for people. I'll talk about that after Pastor Connor finishes talking about the offering. But again, I want to thank you for your continued generosity. If you're in the United States, you can give by texting the word eternity to the number 77977, all right, and then follow the link, and then it'll open up a page on your smartphone where you can give. We'd really appreciate you doing that today. You can also give anywhere in the world by going to myeternity.com/give. Let me tell you this, before Pastor Connor comes to share an encouragement about offering, I want to say we need you right now. We're thankful for your continued generosity and commitment to the house of God. So as the lead pastor, I want to say thank you again. I really appreciate you, and I'm praying for God's favor and blessing. In fact, generosity unlocking, turning present into blessing in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much, Pastor Connor. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.